A very warm welcome to all of you to Ayurvedic Healing and Beyond podcast, and this is your host, Dr. Vignesh Devraj. In today's episode, we explore the connection between relationships and health, and how sometimes certain toxic situations or relationships can be quite harmful for our health. You know the saying, the quality of your relationship is the quality of your life. So we try to understand, are you in a situation that is quite toxic, be it in a relationship or in a working environment, and how to come out of it and how to avoid that, and how being in such a situation is impacting your health. I hope you enjoy this episode, and if you know somebody who can benefit from this content, please do share. And thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy this episode. So I've seen that in many of my patients where I see diseases of idiopathic in nature, and I go in detail about, let's talk about your relationships. And when I say relationship, it's not just with your partner or pet. It's also about your work status. Like, we spend a lot of time in work. And like 8 hours a day, it's like 1/3 of your day is spent on work time. It could be with your boss, your colleague, or your subordinate, whoever is reporting to you. So when you are in a relationship, be it with work or friendship or personal relationship with family, and if you tend to spend majority of your time with a person where you don't feel safe in that communication, this can definitely lead to a lot of health problems. Especially I've seen patients with fibromyalgia. Now, where does this come? Where does this relationship come? And some people say, oh, that relationship is toxic. Relationship, a person by nature need not be toxic. But the way a person behaves could be toxic to someone and could be very friendly to another person. Like, if I see somebody who is my best friend, could be a very toxic personality to somebody, and vice versa as well. Just the way we perceive things. So some people love gluten, and some people, they are allergic to gluten. So again, the word toxic relationship is just an allergic response to a person's behavior or communication. Somewhere they are not able to connect with their communication and observation. Now, where does this come and how is this impacting? So let's just deconstruct that. So let's say a person gets a job and they are in a working system where some people tend to be very bullish or very loved in their speeches, or they have a way of communicating things and demand things without any diplomacy in their language. And let's say this gentleman or a girl, when he or she was growing up, when they had a very unhealthy upbringing, where whenever people got angry, they used to scream or shout or raise the volume of their voice. And then suddenly when they come and see the working system also has a similar thing. I'm just giving a vague example of how things correlate. So somewhere they start feeling insecure in that place. And now this insecurity can also happen when people feel the boss is not giving enough resources to make sure whatever is expected from this person is not done. Sometimes they say, I want you to get so and so done by this deadline. But the boss is not interested in understanding what kind of resources will this person need to execute and achieve this deadline. Maybe they need more assistance, or maybe they need more softwares, or some kind of resources will be required, or maybe more time. And the problem is, the person is also not in a position to express, sir or boss, if you want me to get these things done, I will need these more things and this much time, and this is what is expected. So when people are not able to express their true feelings, and they feel, oh, I'm not in a position to express my true feelings, I feel helpless. So this is what happens when people say, I feel I'm in a toxic relationship. What they feel is, they feel voiceless. They feel they don't have the full control to express their feelings, and they don't feel heard in that relationship. Now, this is very similar to when somebody is going through a very abusive, traumatic experience as well, because they feel, I am helpless. I'm completely at the mercy of another person's behavior. So what happens? They go through a very difficult, a perceived threat, like walking on eggshells and glasses. like sharp edges glasses. This is how they feel. And when they do this over a course of time and when they realize there's no way, sometimes people just say, oh, if you don't like that, why don't you just change the job? Sometimes it's not so easy for people to change the job. They would have had a lot of things centered around that job. And to change that is going to be a Herculean or a Himalayan task. So at that time, somewhere the organization needs to reassess how is the communication going down the line with the hierarchy and the other way back as well. And even in relationship, people don't invest a lot of time in understanding how to improve their relationship. They don't take time to go to a therapist. People think going for that is only when things go completely out of control and you are in a near death situation, like only when, okay, if you don't do this, things are going to separate completely. No, communication plays such an important role, and toxic relationship is a result of not able to understand the other person's communication and your inability to communicate your feelings to the way that the other person can understand and you feel understood that the other person understood as well. That's also another important aspect. So one is learn to communicate better so that, and if you don't like some certain behavior, always remember you have a choice. And we don't live in that ancient time anymore. Maybe you don't have an ability to exercise your choice immediately right now. Okay, maybe I'm not in a position to change my job right now. Maybe if I don't like it. But maybe 6 months down the line or 1 year down the line. Slowly, now I will disconnect emotionally. Maybe I will not invest so much the way the other person is. But parallelly, I will do certain things. And parallelly, I look for another opportunity where I can contribute my creative self in a much better position. So that way, it could be toxic relationship, it could be toxic friendship. Whenever you see the other person is manipulating or wanting something, and how to understand if you are in a position where, you know, this relationship, it could be your boss, it could be your friend, it could be your neighbor, it could be your partner. How to know if this relationship is not healthy for you? The moment you communicate with them, you feel your body is constricting or you feel a hunch feeling in your stomach. Or suddenly after having that conversation with this person, suddenly you feel very low in your energy. Suddenly I feel, oh, this is not making me feel happy or productive. Usually when you're with a person, it could be with your work partner, colleague or somewhere, where you feel more creative, more productive. And I feel so excited to work with this person. And if such a thing doesn't happen, okay, it's not that it has to happen with every person, but it definitely should not go to the other extreme where you feel energy drained, where you feel I'm not able to perform my best. The other person comes and makes these very subtle messages or signals or indirect communication where they make you feel you're not good enough, you're not smart enough. Be careful in these kind of understanding. So once you know that these are the people that could trigger these, on one hand, learn to speak up, learn to communicate. The way the other person has communicated is not something. And learn to communicate in a way, yes, I hear you, but it's a different perspective. Doesn't mean that I have to agree to that. And that way, what happens? You slowly activate your muscles that I have my voice. Maybe in the past, when I was a little kid, there was a time when there was a powerful authority like my parents, uncles or somebody who was very senior came and told me to do and I didn't have a voice to say things back. But now I am not that same person anymore. I'm in a much better position and I do have a voice to speak up for myself. And telling yourself, I do have a voice to speak up for myself, to stand up for myself, that is the way to come out of many of the so-called toxic relationship or communication patterns that you see. And also, you need to also learn to yourself, are you doing this to somebody else? Are you behaving in a way that, you know, you make somebody else feel very inferior or low? So, this is one of the books that I highly recommend, Louise Hay's book on You Can Heal Your Life. So, she makes a very profound statement. If you feel like a victim of a situation where other people are behaving to you unjustly, or you feel somebody is cheating with money or certain things with you, go back and ask yourself, where did I do the same in some other way? Like, it could be in a very different manner. Like, it could be, it's a very honest question that you need to ask yourself and you need to answer it to yourself. Where am I behaving the same way to? In some other position, am I doing this? So sometimes you will see that, let's say that you're being behaved in a, you're being treated very badly in a work system. But you need to maybe ask yourself, when I go out, do I treat any waiters or, you know, restaurateurs or somebody who is coming to serve you or help you in a very disgraceful manner? I'm just giving a vague example. Or it could be with your neighbor, or it could be with somebody or a stranger, or maybe just with your own belongings. Are you treating your objects that you use in a very disgraceful manner? So it's also a way to look very deeply inside yourself. Whenever you get into a toxic relationship somewhere, ask yourself, where am I toxic with myself? And the moment you change that, the outside world mirror will also change. And even if you come across a person who has a tendency to be very toxic with everyone, but with you, suddenly he'll become very friendly and very open and nice. So world is always a mirror of your inner self. So whenever you see somebody's behaving toxic, ask yourself, where am I being toxic? Yes, there are people, irrespective of how you are, will still behave toxic. But these are certain subtle steps that you can do on yourself to change the way you perceive the world. And the way you perceive will have a huge impact on your inner sanctity and your inner sanity. So that's where we have to look at it from that way. And always remember, you have a voice. That's the underlying principle message that everybody should learn to understand when they feel they are voiceless. Now, when I say this, you have a lot of responsibility in contributing to where you are. But that doesn't mean that everywhere you are responsible. Yes, you have a lot of responsibility in what is happening to you. But there are certain incidents that could happen without your contribution as well. But learning to understand the difference makes a big, ability to learn where should I act and where should I just realize this is something that just happened. So if there is a kind of physical abuse that you see, learn to immediately step back and say, no, this is not something that I want to continue. But if you are in a position where you realize somewhere I am also contributing the other person to behave in this way, learn to understand where you are contributing. And if you are contributing, understand this is something you need to change. If not, step back, maybe speak up to your higher authorities or HR professional, or if it's your friend, learn to speak it up in a very diplomatic manner. I highly recommend this book, The Nonviolent Communication by Mark Rosenberg. It really helps people to have these hard conversations. And every time when a toxic relationship is happening, somewhere they have been running away from hard conversations. And these hard conversations are very important to have. It could be with money. It could be with many other things that they've not been able to discuss it openly. Somewhere there is this taboo around the system. But sit and talk. The more you run away, it's going to compound and make another melancholic drama in your life. So communication is at the core. And that's why the word commune comes from communication, right? The feeling of community. So when we communicate, we feel safe. And toxic relationship is something where I don't feel safe in this communication. I feel I cannot trust how the other person, and I feel the other person doesn't take the effort to understand me. And maybe I also need to put an effort to make the other person understand as well. So you need two hands to clap. But the moment you feel the other person is not taking the effort to understand my feelings and not investing in helping me communicate in a way the other person also understands, so work in that direction and learn the difference where you are contributing to this toxicity and learn where you can reverse and change that. So I have seen couples, especially women in their menopause and men in their 50s, let's say their partners in their 50s, they say suddenly the husband gets retired and suddenly the woman comes and tells doctor, I don't know, after that my husband is retired, my blood pressure is over the roof. I don't know. I feel my space has been encroached upon. And sometimes they also say, I got a promotion and this new job, the kind of bosses that I have to deal with, it's also increasing my blood pressure. So again, it comes down to dealing with the communication and expectations of the other person. So learn to anticipate what the other person is expecting. and learn to communicate and make it clear. Is this what exactly you are expecting from me? Now, let's be practical. Maybe to some extent, these aspects of what you expect from me is possible, but the others you are over-expecting, and it will only create a lot of disappointment, and you're not going to be happy the way we are going to proceed. It could be in work, it could be in friendship, it could be in family, it could be in your life partner. So how this enhances over a period of time when you deal with people who are having expectations that you cannot deliver over a period of time, and then you feel this person is also important, you have to keep up the relationship. Over time, it will compound and lead to a lot of idiopathic diseases. Fibromyalgia is one among them. Now, how did I learn about this? I saw a patient with severe hormonal problems and allergic manifestations. I prescribed medications. After 3 months, the patient comes back and says, "Doctor, now all these problems are gone." So as a doctor, I was, you know, priding over my prescription and my ability to diagnose and give the right protocols. The patient said, "Actually, doctor, it was not the medicines. I just quit my job and all my problems went away. I even lost weight." Somewhere that toxic environment where that person was working. You know, you don't know if it is toxic, but for this person, it was definitely toxic. I've seen patients, some people who talk about certain working culture that they love and they say they love it. But some in some cultures, that will be like a no-go. Some of the bosses who work in such cultures will be on jail, the way they, you know, demand things and make them work. So learning to understand where you fit in and where you can work and where you can feel safe. It could be in your relationship, on your working culture. And many of the autoimmune conditions, fibromyalgia, high idiopathic nature of high blood pressure, certain gut-related disorders, anxiety, sleep disorders, it has a lot to do with how your relationships are. So if you have these conditions, does it mean you are in a toxic relationship? Maybe you also need to ask, am I in a toxic relationship with myself too? Somewhere I need to work on myself. And the outside world could be a mirror for that. But there could be a possibility that you need to evaluate. Write down who are the people that I'm dealing with on a constant basis. And who are the people that I am trying to reach out and they are just ignoring me or avoiding me. Who are the kind of people that I would like to associate with, but they just don't care about me and I feel rejected and I keep a low-grade anxiety that I'm rejected constantly. So like this, you need to assess where am I investing my time where I'm not getting returns and where am I not investing time where actually the good returns will come. So that analysis is something that we have to do by slowing down and reflecting on yourself, by journaling and understanding how do you feel with certain people and how do you feel with certain situations. Sometimes I've also seen who normalize burnout. I've seen patients when I ask them what was the nature of your work and they would say they would work from 9 till 9. They would start their work from 9 or 10 a.m. and go on till evening 9 to 10 p.m. And they would work for like 6 to even 7 days. They would take a work day off maybe when they fall sick. Otherwise, or maybe they are self-employed and they just started their business and they go on like this. And they say that, oh, I love my work. But in the long run, maybe it was good for 3 months, 6 months if their body is healthy and they have good genetics and they, you know, they kept their body in a very healthy condition. The body can tolerate this for maybe a few months. But over the long term, they realize this is not sustainable. So we also need to understand some people find like the word new normal. They normalize being in toxic situations. So that also, and it takes a lot of courage. Like we have the saying, only when you have a, you know, when you have an itchy skin, itching feels very normal and entertaining as well, because itching is a kind of pleasure. So you need to also understand maybe having a healthy skin is quite boring when you look at that kind of a pleasure that you've been getting. So you need to have a different benchmark. And in order to have that benchmark, you need to have a different perspective. And in order to have a different perspective, you need to understand and ask your question, what if my life has been a different way? Like work doesn't have to be always this way. Like I know one person. So whenever he drives, he always drives in a very hurried manner. And he used to always promote, okay, we can leave now. We will reach there very quickly. And he would drive like the world is coming to an end. And I have another person. He drives very slow, but he always tells, let's be on time. Let's go on time. And the way he drives, it's the difference between the first driver that I was talking about and the second driver is maybe 10 minutes. But that 10 minutes comes with a lot of peace of mind. The other person, you're constantly on an adrenaline drive. Some people love it and they normalize that kind of driving. But it's okay to go normal without being a James Bond all the time. And again, you know, one of my episodes where I spoke about last minute rush and toxic relationships and toxic environments have a lot in common, because when you indulge in these toxic ecosystem or relationships, your adrenaline is released somewhere, you feel alive as well. And people normalize it, like the Pavlovian dog, you know, normalizes the bell to be a similar to the food. Same way, somewhere there is drama, I feel normal. This has become their new normal and new identity. So they need to come out of that identity. Every time when I say toxic relationship is about, you know, getting better in not knowing how to communicate and not knowing how to receive communication, it comes down to having your voice in speaking up for yourself, in speaking up for what you really want and speaking for your values. So when there is a conflict and when you're not able to speak up what you stand for, that is when you feel manipulated or abused or, you know, bullied. So let's say you were raised in a pattern where you did not know how to speak up for yourself. Somewhere that was always a challenge. And speaking for yourself is a muscle. There is a muscle inside you that the more you strengthen, you can learn to speak up for yourself. And you start that with small things. Like somewhere I read, instead of saying, sorry, I'm late, say, thank you for waiting. So these are small areas where you can learn to practice. Instead of always being guilty, instead of always being sorry, start saying, thank you, I really appreciate for what you did in spite of what has happened. So one is, it's not about, you know, you need to be apologetic when you did, you need to own your mistake. But when you are owning yourself for a mistake which never happened, sometimes it becomes a constant problem. Like in German, I've heard people say the word Entschuldigung. And I was wondering why people say Entschuldigung. I heard it's an excuse me, sir, or excuse me, madam. And then I was just understanding where does the word Entschuld comes from. Entschuld means actually guilt. Like in English, people say, oh, I'm afraid. Is everything okay? I'm afraid. I don't know the answer. So instead of those kind of narratives that you keep telling yourself, it's okay. Like, I don't know this. And somewhere you need to understand, if you really did something bad, it's okay to feel guilty. And guilty means not feeling guilty for the rest of my life. Understand what was the mistake, how can I come out of it, and how can I not repeat it. And if there is a mistake I did, own it, apologize, and really mean it. But sometimes we have this, oh, don't feel guilty for any time. That's not good. Guilt is there for a reason. In the same way, when you feel somebody is behaving in a way that is not appropriate, that is very rude, it's okay to stand up and speak for yourself. Maybe the other person may not receive it in the right way, but you'll be very happy that you stood up for yourself. And if you didn't stand up, you'll feel even bad. Many people feel bad that they didn't stand up where they should have stood up for themselves. And life has those many regrets. And again, you don't have to hold on to that regret. Oh, I didn't do that by then. Back then, you did what you knew best with what you learned and whatever experience and life taught you. But from now on, what can you do to stand up for yourself? So small gestures. You learn to speak up. When people say, can you come for this? You tell them, sorry, this is very difficult for me to come, and I'm finding it very difficult to, you know, align all my other priorities. I would love to come and I really wanted to come, but maybe my health or I have other commitments that are equally important. Maybe the next time I will definitely show up. It's a method, you know, standing up for yourself is also another way to your ability to say no in a very diplomatic manner, and it's okay. And normalizing saying no is one of the ways you can stand up for yourself. So usually healing happens to people when they realize they have a choice and it's not dependent on how other people are behaving to them. Yes, if other people are conducive and complimenting, behaving in a manner that is complimenting to your healing, fantastic. But it boils down to one thing, that is, you have a choice. And what is that choice? To choose something and say yes or no. And once you realize that you have this choice, because you get that power back and you realize you are in control. And the moment you feel you are in control, that is when you feel safe in your body. And that safety is very important for a good healing protocol.
Thank you for listening to Ayurvedic Healing and Beyond.